In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know what today's feast day is? What saint we are celebrating today? There are a number of them, so you can get it wrong a bunch of times. Take a guess. De Piazzi. Piazzi. Yeah, those are the three main ones right there. We're doing the middle one. San Gregorio VII. St. Gregory the VII. He's a pope. Do you know much about his life? He was pope the year 1084. Right in that area right there. So it's almost 1,000 years ago right now that he was the reigning pontiff. Do you know how long his reign lasted? About the same number of years that you, Ana Carolina, have been alive on this earth. That's all he reigned as pope for. Very short time. You see, he came out in a time when the papacy, through very many ages, has had very different kinds of popes that have come throughout. Those who are great rulers, those who are great saints and just holy men, those who gave their lives my testament, those who maybe did some things that they really, really shouldn't have, and for that reason, we just really hope that they make it to heaven. St. Gregory the VII obviously was a very good man because we're talking about him in Mass. He's a saint. During his time, he was a very holy monk, the monk of Cluny. Cluny was this great monastery that was out there that so many great saints came from. It was a reform of the Benedictine order, and so many deep, profoundly prayerful men and women of God came from that movement that was there. And Pope Gregory, who would become Gregory, was one of them. His former name was Hildebrand. Hildebrand, as a man walking down the street, you would have called him as Hildebrand prior to his papacy. He was just a regular man, but a holy man. He presided over councils and was such a good assistant to the church in all that he did that all people from all over came to listen to his wisdom. He presided at a council that Victor II had, and I forget what the issue was specifically that he was dealing with, but did so well that everybody knew that this man was a man that could do great things, not just for Tuscany, for northern Italy, and defend against heresies, but even the whole of the Church of Christ would one day be calling out to him. When it came time and Victor II died, you know what immediately they started shouting? You wouldn't expect this at that time. It's something you would expect maybe now. Hildebrand for Pope! Hildebrand for Pope! Hildebrand for Pope! Hildebrand for Pope. They were cheering in the streets saying, this man be Pope, because he was such a holy and well-fit man for the office. And that wasn't among just the lay faithful. That was the old cardinals who were shouting, make him Pope, make him Pope, make him Pope. But he said, no, I'm not going to be Pope by acclamation. You guys actually have to vote for me. In one sense, that was a challenge to them, because he knew many of them probably didn't want him to be Pope because he was a holy man and would do holy things. And would change things that were not so holy that were going on in the church. He was elected Pope, and that's exactly what he set out to do. There were three big issues during his short reign as Pope. What were those three issues? Simony, concubinage, and lay investiture of clerics in their offices. What are those three issues? Simonia, concubinado, that's a lack of chastity among the clergy. Lack of living chastely, chaste celibacy. And the third one is, I don't know how to say it in Spanish, but I just translated it. It's when you would just take a person and the lay officials, those who were the kings or the dukes, would put them in their office as bishop or as pastor or as priest in this place, rather than the proper ecclesiastical duties. And because of there was lots of corruption in the church, because of that, as you can imagine, sadly, a lot of these same things still go on to this day. But he fought so virulently against them. He broke up these people who were trying to live double lives as priests or as bishops and saying, hey, they could live outside their celibacy on the side. He said, no, that's not right. And those who were doing that, he kicked them out of office and put holy bishops and priests in their places. When they were trying to sell offices or sell holy things for profit, he said, that will stop right now. And those who weren't, he kicked them out. Kicked them out, put them away. And put an end to those practices so nobody could gain financially by giving out God's great mercies. And for those officials, those kings, those princes, those dukes who were trying to control the church and trying to somehow set up that their nephew or that their uncle or their cousin would somehow take a particularly good place and somehow enrich his family that way, he said, not on my watch. Put it to a stop. When a man comes and does those things which are so rooted, these grave evils which are so there, he makes a lot of enemies. One thing to note, You can tell more about a person by the enemies they have than by the friends they keep. If you've got the right enemies, in truth, it's a lot better than having the right friends, because your enemies talk about who you are if you've got the right ones. And so he did. He had enemies all over the place, even with the cardinal. He had many who wanted to seek and to destroy his life. And so he was driven from his place, sent out into exile. They tried to take his life. A local duke actually imprisoned him, locked him away in a cell there in Rome, hoping to do evil to him by night. But what happened? The good people of Rome broke into the cell, tore open the gates, and brought him out to safety. A little bit later, the king, the emperor of Germany, actually went and sought his life as well. Sought to imprison him again and send him out into exile. The Pope excommunicated him, and then he had to deal with all the dukes at home because the people turned on him because they saw this Pope was a good and holy Pope. Yet his 12-year reign was to be ended in exile. He never went back to take the papal throne again. He died in exile. And I want to read to you what he said on his dying breath. There he is, there lying out, knowing that his life is passing before him and he's never going to go back to Rome where he's supposed to be as Pope. And so lying there, assisted by one of his good holy monks, who is there with him just praying,